Right into this evening's lesson, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3, 9. This is a session on helps for parents, and the specific topic is teamwork is necessary. So teamwork in some areas in which unity and teamwork and communication are very needed. We do have a outline, if you'd like to follow along. You did not get one yet. A couple ushers are in the aisles here, and they can hand you one if you just raise your hand up. They can get that for you if you'd like. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." So in our handout there, our blank is together. We are laborers together with God. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible there says, "We then as workers together with him," so our blank is workers, "we then as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." So we see in the first verse there, we're laborers together with God. In the second verse, we see we are workers together with him. And then in James 2:22, the Bible says, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." In that verse, we see our faith and our works working together to bring something that is perfect, or we could say complete, to finish, to complete the job. So it's not just faith. I hope everything turns out okay. I have great faith and not do anything about it. And it's certainly not just a bunch of work without relying on God and trusting in him. It is faith and works working together to produce something that is complete or whole or perfect. So in the first two passages, we see God's people working together with him. And in James, we see our beliefs working themselves out in our actions, our decisions, and our lifestyle. So the principle of teamwork, of co-laboring, of being fellow workers is one that is throughout the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. Fellow workers. This Bible truth is an important truth in our role as parents. And it's, aside from that, it's really an amazing truth. When we pause and think that God says, "You're laborers together with me." That's God talking. Who are we? What are we? We know what we are. Yet God says, "Fellow laborers, we're going to work together with him." Well, we should take that responsibility and that privilege seriously. We should work together with him. And then certainly in the roles in the home of parents and spouses, that idea of laboring together with God is something that's vital for us to do. Teamwork, unity, communication is very necessary. One man reminds us about this, he says, I can assure you that someone is always teaching and influencing your children. And because of your children's sinful nature, evil will influence them much quicker than goodwill." And not than goodwill to store, though that is somewhat influential in a pinch. There's always goodwill. The forces of evil are highly organized. Okay, there's no disunity in the forces of evil. They're not bickering back and forth. They're not arguing. No. They've got a smoothly oiled machine, and they're going to come right on in, and they're not going to miss a beat. Sometimes we argue with God about what's right and wrong, and I don't want to do that, and that's embarrassing, pride, whatever. All the while, the devil, the flesh, and the world, man, there's no stopping them. Okay. In other words, they're highly organized. They're on the same page. We, as Christians, must be on the same page with the one who we're working with. And God says, you're working with me. You're co-laborers with me. That's a great privilege, but it's a great responsibility. And it puts a great accountability on us to be on the same page, to be in unity with God, to be communicating with God, to be on the same team, as it were, with God, and not have a barrier that's between us and the Lord. So we'll look tonight at seven realms, seven areas in which family teamwork, communication, unity, being on the same page is both possible and needed. And so we'll work our way through these here this evening, Lord willing. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to open your word. Thank you, God, for the privilege that you've given many here to have families. And we ask, God, that you would help all of us to be proper co-laborers, co-workers together with you, Lord. And I pray that some things that we review tonight from your word would strengthen our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So number one, there should be unity between God and dad. God and dad should be, must be on the same page, must be communicating, must be in unity. Dad is the gatekeeper of the family. He's not the king. There's a castle. He's not the king. God's the king. But he certainly is in charge of lowering the gate and letting things in or not into the home. That's his responsibility. Well, maybe someone else has been keeping the gate and letting a whole lot in, and dad didn't know about it. Well, it's still dad's responsibility. He's in charge of the gate. And so dad must be on the same, must be in unity, must be a co-laborer, must be communicating with God. It's dad's job to establish direction. Joshua illustrates this for us in Joshua 24:15, where he just said straight up, I don't know what other happening in other castles. What doors are getting opened or closed in other people's situation, but this house is going to serve the Lord. This house is going to, so he's determining what his home's going to be. And that was it. And there wasn't a lot of discussion about it. I didn't hear anybody raise their hand and say, but dad, or at that time in his life, grandpa, or his wife, no, she, everybody knew by that time. You know, he paid the price of faith. He came through the wilderness wanderings. He said no to the faithless complainers about the things of God. He'd already decided. He saw what happened to other people that doubted God. They all died. They were buried back in the wilderness. He'd seen God prove himself, and he had no doubt who he was going to follow. If we see God prove himself in our life, that just builds our faith. We're not going to be wondering what choice to make. Paul emphasizes this truth in Ephesians 6:4 when he calls out to the dads that were sitting in the church at Ephesus. The letter is being read, and it comes to the part and it says, "And ye fathers," and then a direct command straight to the dads that are sitting there at the church at Ephesus. And so, for this reason and others in the Bible, we understand that there's got to be, for a dad, okay, there's got to be direct communication. We must be on the same page with God, not going against God, knowing what God says, knowing what God wants. That is communication, which is time, which is hearing God's words to us through the scripture and communicating back to God through prayer. It's very simple, it's basic, but it's too often neglected. And we can go a long time without communicating and being in unity with God. This world has a way of sneaking in. Before we know it, we're doing things, saying things, responding in a way that doesn't reveal that we're co-laborers and workers together with God. And our families need that. So unity, teamwork between God and dad in the home. Number two, between God and mom. I mean, God and mom. A Bible home needs a mom in unity with the Lord's commands to her as a wife, to be in subjection and to be following her husband as to the Lord. Okay, so by mom, fulfilling her role in the home, she is in unity with the Lord. A mother that is in tune with God is a wonderful, tremendous blessing. It's the difference between a sour home and a sweet home. And I know at the Chinese buffet, you can get sweet and sour together, okay? But as far as the home goes, pretty much it's usually one or the other. At that time, it's one or the sweet or it's sour. And so a mom that's praying, not just praying in general, but praying over some real specific things in each of the people that she has with her husband and his specific needs, each individual kid and their needs, where they're at, a mother in unity with God. There's a million family details that moms come at them every day. Details and the same thing over and over again, and that can wear on a mom if they're not in a daily walk with God and getting and staying in harmony with God, listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that comes alongside and helps and comforts and guides. And so in the home, the teamwork or the unity between mom and God, between mom and the Holy Spirit, goes a long way for the atmosphere that is in the home. So unity, communication between mom and God. Number three, between God and each child. Each child. Our example as parents is very important here. Okay, so very young children, they're going to look. If dad does it, it's got to be right, and I want to do that. If mom does it, it's got to be right. I want to do that. So little simple things that they know that we do are going to be huge. The principle of example for each child as they are growing up, showing them what it's like to just be faithful in reading the Bible. Example is huge there. Not telling them, but yes, but showing them. But showing is huge for kids. They want a copy. They want to have something. They want to see it. Help them team up with God's ways of obedience, and ultimately God's will for their life. Show them, demonstrate to them that God's way is always best. And one way to show that is by being joyful and serving God yourself. And if it's a misery, if it's a grind to get in the car and come to church for you, just think about what the kids are thinking. Just think about what's going on in their mind. Whew, when I get a shot, when it's my turn, I don't want to go through that grind my whole life either. They don't look in tune with God. Okay, and help them, guide, help our kids get that direct relationship with God. They need to be in unity with God. And it's up to us to demonstrate that and lead them along that way. So as they grow, the daily will of God for their life, then God begins to deal with them individually, continues to deal with them individually. And then there's career and spouse and things like this that come up later. And they've learned through patient consistency to be in tune with God. They're in unity with God. They're communicating with God. God made each of our children, the Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully. We say that sometimes as adults, and it's true. But as soon as that child is born, okay, as soon as they're conceived, they're fearfully and wonderfully made as a specific individual before God. And they're going to have an opportunity to be in unity, to be followers of God and God working in their life. We have to guide them toward godliness, away from worldliness. One way to do this is by directing them, it's a practical way, into some wholesome interests, some things that that give their life meaning and purpose even when they're young. And there's some things that they can do to do that. One thing we have one great tool here is the music program, right? So an instrument, and they can begin to learn that working alongside of you and what you do. Projects at home, girls working with dad or mom, and learning to be productive and healthy. By being proactive in that, giving them something they can do productively, that helps them lessen the taste or the need for cheap and lazy and potentially destructive entertainment. Okay, if they are being productive in something that's wholesome, there's less time and less interest in stuff that's junk and cheap, because they're becoming productive, and you're helping them in that. It doesn't take the world away, it doesn't take temptations away, but leaving them completely to fill their time up with whatever they want, it is about a guarantee that it's going to be filled up with laziness and things that are going to be detrimental. So, individual relationships, God and each child, and I would stress to them that God has a plan for their life. God has a purpose for their life. They are God made them. Okay, the world's going to lie about that. The world's going to say you were everything was chance. They particularly were chance. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. So between God and each child. Number four, and this is an important one, of course, teamwork is necessary between dad and mom. Between dad and mom. This probably affects the children as much or more than any other relationship. The relationship between dad and mom needs to be one of unity, of communication, of teamwork. Same page with philosophy. Same page with child discipline and spanking and following through on the rules, agreeing on expectations. Same page. That takes a lot of communication between dad and mom. It takes constant communication between dad and mom to stay on the same page, because there's something new every week. There's something new every day that comes up. Dad and mom have to be united on this. By the way, if you're dating someone, you better find this out real quick before you go too far. Find out what they believe about these things. Find out where they stand at. Don't take for granted that someone believes what the Bible teaches about child rearing. Better ask that quickly and find out what type of a person, what type of a dad or mom potentially that the person you're interested believes what they believe, what they're going to be. And so same page. Again, this is just going to take a lot of time with mom and dad talking with each other. So we're trying to always gauge the spiritual temperature of our kids. Now, unfortunately, that spiritual temperature, just like you and I, can fluctuate quickly and more dramatically than we want to believe. It can't, because just think about yourself. Okay? Think about how quickly your spiritual temperature can drop or can cool down. That's the same thing in the lives of our kids. So we want to be sensitive to that and watching and noticing that and then communicating with each other. And often one parent will see it before the other one will. And I don't know how many times my wife and I were talking and she would say, not sure about this. And I noticed this. And sure enough, well, because we could talk, one or the other would notice something, okay? And we're talking about lives here. We're not talking about stuff that doesn't matter. This is important. We're talking about helping someone and taking care of a problem when it's small, before it gets big, and trying to be sensitive as parents. Another thing with dad and mom, the Bible teaches us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. See, now that's going to put us at odds with each other. And as I said before, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the enemies of our family, are never at odds with each other. They're not inter-arguing. They're a well-oiled machine. But if the very thing that is so important for us in our walk with God and our prayer life and in raising our kids, which is the relationship between a husband and wife, if that's at odds and bitterness and anger, someone else is going to end up paying the price for our anger and bitterness and bickering back and forth. Someone else pays that price. Is that always easy to quickly forgive? Well, I hope it is for you. The Bible calls it the old man. You know, he's living alive and well inside of us. Okay, so when the Bible says forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave us, so ought we to forgive others. When we remember what Jesus forgave us of, that ought to speed up our forgiveness a little bit, and that ought to speed it up a lot. There's lives at stake when there's a perpetual animosity and not working together between dad and mom. Dad and mom pay the price, and children pay the price. And prayers are hindered, and there's victories of the wrong sort that are taking place. When dad and mom aren't in unity together, children become insecure, and then they'll start to seek security or sanity elsewhere. And elsewhere can be just about anywhere. And that's a frightful thought. Elsewhere could be just about anywhere. One pastor said this, though: the more obedient we are to biblical principles, the more blessed or happy we are in our marriage. Now, the world would say otherwise. Okay? And our flesh would say otherwise. I've got to win that argument, and I've got to win it permanently. Okay? The more obedient we are to biblical principles, the more blessed we are in our marriage. Okay? The greatest gift, another pastor said, that you can give your children is their recognition that dad loves mom and mom loves dad. That just brings about a sense of security in the home that nothing else will bring about. Not the greatest Christmas gift they've ever got, not the nicest vacation. That brings them peace and security. Now, we'll end there. Number five, the relationship dad and mom to each child. Dad and mom then to each by each child. I mean each individual child. Dad and mom down to each one. One man said this: three things are necessary to accomplish good communication with our children. One, children must have full confidence in their parents, respecting and trusting them. Two, dad and mom must demonstrate sincere love for each other. And three, parents must actually communicate with the children. Actually communicate. Not in mind, not in theory, but actually do it. How can that be done? Well, there's a lot of ways that can be done. Here are some ways. Take a walk with one child individually. Just take a walk. You say, well, he's 1.5. Well, take a slow walk with that child. And you take a walk. It was probably several weeks ago. One of my kids said, Dad, you want to take a walk? I said, sure, let's take a walk. And we took an hour walk. And we talked the whole time about things that were needed to be talked about. And it was good. It was needed. Take a drive. Burns less calories. And generally a drive ends up at a drive-through as well, somehow. It's like we're indebted as Americans when we get in the car to go through a drive-through at some point. You have to. I mean, why did I get in the car if I'm not going to go through a drive-through? Yep. But that coffee's $5. But I'm in the car, and it has to go somewhere. So take a drive. That's what my dad liked to do. He'd take me on a drive, and we would talk about, we'd Talk about everything. Take a drive. One-on-one. Listen. Look them in the eyes. Ask them questions. And then turn your ears on. And just listen. Let them talk. See where they're at. Grab a Coke at McDonald's. It's cheap. And listen. Talk. Give them some time just with them. That's one way that we can communicate with our children individually. One guy said this, not having time for them while having time to do the things with others or having the time to do the things you like to do, they notice that right away. Not time for them, but time for me to do my thing. Time for me to do things with the others, the guys or whoever, but no time for them doesn't mean that it's kids first and that whatever they say is our schedule for the week. Doesn't mean that, but it does mean that they notice when they don't have attention or time and everybody else seems to have it outside of responsibilities of life. So this holds true as well for the husband and wife relationship. If the dad or the guy has always got time to be with the guys doing whatever and little or no time for his wife, that wears down the spiritual temperature of the house real quick. And it's we might think as guys it's not noticed. It's very noticed. And it's easily corrected, okay, if we'll do it. And just it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of saying there's teamwork and unity that is vital between us and God, and between us and our spouse, and between us and each individual kid. Now, then outside of that, there's other things in life that we have to do, like work. Okay, but these things last and extend far beyond our work. Okay, these are things that are a responsibility from God, and they're eternal. And again, doesn't have to be super long, okay? Doesn't have to be a five-hour outing. It can be fast, be quick, but it should be more regular, all right? Like filling up a car with gas. Whew, I did that. Luckily, I won't have to do that till next March. I'm going to be on the side of the road for a while. Things aren't going to be working, and that's the way it is with our communication with the people that are close to us. It needs to be, it doesn't have to be huge, but it's got to be regular, because we run out of gas. The communication, there's other things that are needed to keep filling it up, stopping again, and taking care of things. Then individually, but then also between dad and mom, and not each child, but the family as a whole. So a good place to communicate or be in unity with between dad and mom and the family as a whole is to sit down around the dinner table when possible. To sit down around the dinner table. That was the old time form of social media. You know, that's how you got the posts. You know, someone would post about something they heard and, you know, your family posts. There it is. It's all done. But do you remember the dinner table? Remember those good times, weren't they? Everybody's sort of, the barriers are kind of down, all right? There's not discipline. Generally, there's not discipline going on at the moment. That's all past. There's food. People are happy talking about things. It's a great time to get on the same page. And I know with schedules, especially when it becomes teenagers, the dinner table sometimes, those times are fewer than what they were before. But I think it's important as much as possible to use that time. Another place would be a time of Bible reading and prayer together as a family. Just simply opening the Bible and then and reading it. Maybe everybody reads a little bit, but then praying. You know, one way to get in unity with someone is say, hey, what's a prayer request you have? And then praying for that. That's why I like our Thursday night after this time prayer groups. There's a big group here, but we can go to smaller groups and we can hear requests. And then you really kind of, you really get to know the people in your prayer group, don't you? You know them. You kind of, through the years, you remember the things that they went through. And even Saturday night for our men's prayer groups are even smaller. You really get to know those guys. Well, why? Because you're praying together. Prayer has a way of doing that. Prayer has a way of bringing people together, unity in prayer. And for a family, that family unit is strengthened when there's a time of Bible reading and prayer together. And then certainly just some times for fun, just with the family, just having fun together. It doesn't have to, again, it could be as expensive or as inexpensive as you want. But just the time for everybody to be together and enjoying things. Again, a pastor said this about each individual child and our responsibility to them. He said this: do not ignore them. They may need your help. And if you ignore them now, they may ignore you when they get older. If it's important to them now, it had better be important to you no matter what age they are. And now that takes a little bit of work sometimes to be super interested in the great needs of that four-year-old. But what you're doing, you're establishing the fact that they can come to you, they can talk to you, they can get your attention, kind of like their Heavenly Father would give them attention no matter what age they are too, wouldn't he? He always has a listening ear. He does for us. And so as fathers, parents, helping each individual child out and listening individually as well as the whole family. Number six. Another area of unity and communication is the parents to the school. Okay, parents to the school. Okay, and on a homeschool situation, that has already been taken care of, but some here, kids are in the Christian school. So, communication about academics and with the teachers is important. Our Christian school, I've counted a blessing, but we should be able to communicate with our teachers. Cooperate in seeing that our children are studying, help them to become good students, in maintaining discipline. Okay, and John Rice said it this way: children who obey their parents will naturally be expected to obey their teachers. So one way we can help the teachers is by making sure that our kids obey in detail at home. That makes for better kids at school, better classrooms even. And then what about this? It might be worth asking our kids, math and English, science teachers, if our kids are obeying and participating with respectful attitudes in these classes. It's worth asking them that. And, maybe especially those of us that have boys. 'Cause very quickly it can become cool, to cut up behind the teacher's back. To sport the cool dude scowl in class, to slouch, to snicker, to act disinterested. Just saying, that is something that most boys, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, happen to have been one at one time. They're going to have to come face to face with that and realize either that's okay, that's good, or else that really is not impressing God, and we want to live godly and be respectful, not later, because later may never come, but now in that math class, in that science class. So I don't know if my kids like that or not. There's one quick way we can all find out. Quick phone call, quick question. How's he doing? Well, we can wait around to see if there's any little negative comment in the teacher's, the reports that come out occasionally. Okay, I didn't say anything. I guess we're okay for another whatever time. It's something probably worth looking into and checking up on. And we don't want to raise a cool dude. We want to raise a soldier for Christ. And those are not the same. They're very different. I'm thankful. Levi had a teacher in eighth grade that was not afraid to bust up that type of behavior in his class. And he remembers it. It's here somewhere. You remember it. Yeah, we smile about it. Now, I had, hey, I had a teacher did the same thing for me, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful I had parents that were behind the teacher, not behind me. Oh, man, I really wanted you to grow up and be a cool dude. No, that's not what my parents wanted. They didn't want that. But I had this eighth grade teacher that decided, mm-mm. I'm responsible to God for these knuckleheads, not here. And she told me about it. And we're grateful to this day for that. So don't shy away from those things. Find out and listen. It'll tell you what to pray for. Tell us all what to pray for, what to look out for. It's work. Okay? It's work raising our kids. We want to be on the same page. We've got to pick what we want to say page with. Same page with our kids and what they're saying, how they're doing. Okay, yes, we'll listen to them. But also, what does other people see about our kids? What do they see too? There's a pastor that wrote about this. And he said when he was learning to deal with this himself, and he's a pastor, someone would tell me that one of my children was doing, which usually would be something that was bad or dangerous. However, here was my problem. I would let the fact that it was someone other than my wife or myself who had seen our child do this, I would let that irritate me. After all, I'm the man of my house and I'm watching my children. So how dare anyone accuse me of not knowing what they're doing at all times? Instead of evaluating the situation in light of what was best for my kid, I automatically concluded that these people had the wrong motive in coming to me. And I missed the whole point of what God was doing when he allowed them to bring this kind of information to me. Therefore, initially, I would usually discount what they had to say. And the next stage that he dealt with at this point in his child rearing was this. He said that when this came along, he found himself having to keep up or stay ahead of others in the competition that parents had among themselves. So he had to start finding out other kids and the bad things they were doing so he could stay ahead, or his could be just a little bit better in this competition that was being built up among he was allowing to be built up in his mind, so he could kind of win. Even though there's a problem, it wasn't as bad. Well, he talked about how that God showed him that it was his kids that were losing with that attitude. He may have somehow been hold on to some aspect of pride in his life, but the very thing that he was given the responsibility for, which is raising his kids, he was failing at with that attitude. It's easy to have that attitude. It's human nature to have that attitude. And but when we decide that we're going to be working in opposition to the school or teachers, then we lose that unity in the communication that God has allowed into our life to help us in our child rearing. And then another thing with regard to the school is the extracurriculars that go on. Okay. It's true. I mean, it's a true statement, for better or for worse. Our kids share our outlook and attitude toward the candy sale and food-a-thon. They share our outlook to those things. For instance, it'd be great to remind our kids. Food-a-thon's a lot of work, right? And it's just at a time of year that's super busy. Super busy. Okay, but you think about some of the homes that the food that they collected went into over Thanksgiving. And what that meant, and the eyes that lit up when they had a turkey and they had food to eat over Thanksgiving. Now, we might not think of it because maybe our table is going to be full no matter what happens. But we can show them, here's what you're doing, and here's a person that you're affecting because of that. That might help change the outlook a little bit, change, keep our outlook going good. It's a blessing to be able to share with parents that will be here on Christmas Sunday. Some, the only Sunday of the year they're going to come is that day. Only Sunday of the year they're come. We've knocked on their doors, visited their kids for 51 weeks out of the year. But Junior's going to be up here singing in the Christmas program, and they're going to come watch him. And they're going to get a gift from the church. It's going to help their home over Christmas. It's a blessing. It's because of the labor that was put in by a lot of moms, some dads, and all teens. Okay, that'll help our spirit. All right, we see why. Here's the why behind what we're doing. Number 7, parents to the church. parents' responsibility to be in unity with the church. Some simple ways. Be faithful to church attendance. Just be faithful to church attendance. Be faithful. Decide we're going to be at church. Next, faithful to giving tithes and offerings. Faithful to giving. Our kids see that. We teach them young. A great way is to start by demonstrating they might get some money at Christmas. Start teaching them 10%, the tithe. They take the tithe out of that money and it goes to God. John Rice said this, when a child gives a dime out of a dollar, he can easily be taught to feel that the whole dollar was received from the Lord and must be used for his glory. So he learns not just about the dime that he gave away, but he learns to be a good steward of the other 90 cents that he has left, since it all came from God. Giving to the Christmas offering that's coming up. And again, if we're interested in something that's going on, especially something going on in their life, they get excited about it. Cooperating with a good spirit and attitude during church. Okay, team up with your family by sitting together. Don't allow church to be boring. You say, well, wait a second, what if it is? Okay, well, here's the thing. Probably not, for the most part, okay, unless it's this Thursday night lesson, I'll throw that out. But it's probably not, for the most part, if we have prayed beforehand and are anticipating God's message for us at that service. Suddenly, it doesn't become boring if we anticipate that message. So we're listening for it. And then we talk about it on the way home. And then we talk about it during the week. So John Rice said this, how many parents have ruined the influence of the church over their own children by their careless criticism of the pastor or some other person at church or of the other Christians who attend the services? They've ruined the influence for their kids because of the criticism that comes out. Team up around a ministry. Give yourself something of the effort for eternity, for the eternal, to talk about as a family. I know, talk to Pastor Dameron's son. He takes one of his kids canvassing. That's a great thing. There's no arguing or disunity if you're knocking on doors together. You're praying for each other. You're in the Lord's work together. All of a sudden, you're fellow soldiers when you're doing that together. Go to the nursing home together. Praying you're working together on bus route. All right, take the little ones out on the bus route with you. You're teamed up. You're in unity together around eternal things. Okay, eternal things that really last and really matter. It's nice to have fun family outings. It's even better for those times to be dealing with things about eternity. Okay. Let me just close with this, some questions. Number one, have you let the spiritual infrastructure of your family kind of fall into disrepair? Have you kind of ignored it? If you ignore our house, our rooms, they fall into disrepair real quick. How about our family? Number two, has your home lost your intense attention? Are you distracted with other things? Is your mind taken up with other things? Has your home lost your intense attention? Third, has family time been really strong on things like seasonal outings and fellowship with others, but light on teaming together in the scriptures and for the sake of the gospel? Where's the emphasis at? What brings great joy? Do you need to set up some times and plans in place so that you and your communication with God are right or made right? You as a parent need to put regular times aside to talk about meaningful things with each of your children individually. Do you need to put some times down? This is a good month to do that. It's a good time to start. Do some dads and moms need to take some time to get on the same page with each other with regard to the operation and the spirituality of their home? Are you working in cooperation with your child's teachers and coaches? And lastly, are you working together with the church through faithfulness and encouragement with the opportunities that we have here? 2 Corinthians 6:1. The Bible says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Let's not squander this privilege and opportunity to be laborers together with God in our family life. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for our church, Lord, for every